What are the other sections to write down in your prayer journal? And it's there listed on page 17, praying for the church. Now, I don't know about you, if you read Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. As a matter of fact, over 90% of all the prayers requested and listed in the New Testament were prayers for the saints, prayers for the church, prayer. Think in terms of the battle of the church. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now that's important because there's a battle against the church. There's an enemy, 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verse 8. And he prowls around. He wants to weaken the church, weaken the believer. Obviously, the dark side knows that powerful prayer warriors are a vast enemy to them as they try to keep lost people lost and save people crippled. There is a constant warfare, Ephesians 6. Your warfare is not against flesh and blood. The gates of hell, though, will not prevail. We're launched on the ground zero of victory, the cross, Jesus, and the power of God, the hand of God, and of course the living Savior, as I give you constantly, Mark 16:20. He's at work with us. He's in us. Holy Spirit guiding us, praying for the church. Now, let me tell you something. The church needs to have all believers pouring into the prayers, praying for the body of Christ, the entire body of Jesus. So I could pray deeply during the week for the church I go to, and I could pray while I'm there. And then as the pastor's faithfully leading the church in all the worship that's gone on, all the praising of God, then moving into intercession, praying for the lost and pouring out that massive prayer for the lost, and then I believe from that we should move into praying for the church, praying for the body of Christ, praying for the service that day, praying for the leadership, praying for God's power and might and work and so forth, praying against the enemy. Taking time to say, Lord, what's the enemy trying to do? Remember when the disciples were meeting together, the Lord's Supper. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you guys as wheat. Believers come, as we gather on Sundays, there are believers coming that are defeated. There are believers coming that have been defeated. Well, they're not showing up because they've been defeated. And they're home. And the church should be the ground where the proclamation, the experience of, the witness of the Spirit, victory, victory, and victory in the love of God. Like I say constantly, it should be the most supernaturally saturated, interactive meeting place in all the world. I mean, in existence, barring heaven itself. Because God is here. God is guiding by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is in the worship. The Spirit of God should be in the massive intercession and warfare praying and preaching and testifying and witnessing and giftings and the invitation, all of it from beginning to end. And the truth is, as we've opened up every way to the Lord and honored Him and trusted His leading and guiding and presence, there should be powerful salvations and healings and deliverance and giftings and words and encouragement and exhortations and backsliders repenting because of the presence of God being so powerful. You know, we read in 1 Corinthians 14 about giftings. When somebody actually hears the Spirit of God move somebody to speak something, they, drop to their knees to repent because they acknowledge God is truly among you. God is here. And I've seen that happen over the years where I've seen people get saved before the preaching started because the power of God was so dynamically there in the context of worship, the major praying, some testimonies, where this has happened a number of times where someone got up to say, I want to be saved right now, before the preaching, before the invitation. And that's a tremendous thing. Well, remember James 5, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous believer. That simply means righteous man means the obedient believer, the believer that's obeying the word. It avails much. It's massive. And if you look at the example of Elijah shutting the heavens, and the Spirit of God uses the word kathos, we're just like him. He's just like us. And so this incredible example is used. The church Jesus launches in his building, not even the gates of hell, even though it will, Satan has his throne, the seven churches of Revelation you read about. But I'm telling you right now, Jesus is the head of the church. He shed his blood for the body of Christ. We are born again and baptized into the body, 1 Corinthians 12, by the Spirit of God. And then we're in the localities. The word church, ecclesia, has been used in Scripture, New Testament, approximately 115 times, and about 97 times in reference to the local churches. And that's where the visible local church that is doing the mission. We got to pray for the church to be on target. We got to pray for the church when it's in trouble. We got to pray for the church when there's spiritual attack. And it is vital for all of us. So praying for your local church, praying for the leaders, praying for one another. One of the things I did as a pastor when I was local, when we came to the prayer intercession side of things, there's this major release of prayer for souls. There's this major release of prayer for lost individuals. It just goes on. It's very passionate and strong, and praying for the lost and praying for God's power and reminding ourselves to be soul winners and so forth. Then we lead the church into praying for the church, the body of Christ, right there today in the sanctuary. Did you know that it's very clear that in the book of Acts, and I think how prayer works, that answers to prayer can occur right in the sanctuary. That is astounding. And I think that's example, again, Acts 4, where as they lifted their voices, prayed the way they did, quoted Scripture, God clearly came in the power of the Spirit of God, even shook the building. You got to understand that the church has a sense of miraculousness from God, and power, and miracles, and sign. So we need to be praying, God, unleash everything you have. In this time of history, in this moment towards the end of history, we must be praying, God, stretch out your hand, saving, healing, delivering. Stretch out your hand with extraordinary miracle, God. Stretch out your hand to over the church right now to encourage that leadership, to encourage new individuals, to bless those disciplers, to empower those praise teams. Praying over everything, then normally I would lead the congregation. Pray for those in front of you. I don't care, and I've done this at conferences, and there could be 100, there could be 1,000. Pray for those in front of you. Everybody's praying. Pray for those behind you. Everybody's praying. Pray for those beside you. Everybody's praying. Pray for those on the other side of you. By the time you're done with the prayer meeting, 20 minutes or so of prayer, intercession in the church, and warfare prayer in the church, then you know what happens? You've been prayed for 2, 3, or 4 times by others. You're covered in prayer. The church is covered in prayer. Praying for the whole, then we pray for the body of Christ in the entire city. We pray for churches that we know are having difficulties. We pray for the church to be filled with the Spirit of God. We read in Ephesians 3:14 down, that is a prayer for all the saints. That's a prayer that all the believers would be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. In those massive intercessory prayers for the church, God, stretch out your hands today and heal individuals, touch individuals. God, today, stretch out your hand to convict of any sin. God, sanctify your church. Continue to empower your church. Fill believers with the power of the Spirit of God. Release giftings and workings to be used correctly and rightly to the glory of Jesus and to the ministry of others. Pouring out prayer for the church. That's part of what we do, and that's daily. That's what we can do as part of the, that's what we read there in those first few verses in Ephesians 6. We're called on as Spirit-filled, guided, led individuals by that word. Pray for all the other believers. You're praying for the church. And then pray for your local church. And wait on the Lord. Ask the Lord, does the Spirit of God have anything specific? Write those things down. Is there specific things to pray about the local church I go to? Are there specific things to pray for pastors and leaders and so forth? You could ask the Lord, anything the enemy is doing? Lord, make me aware. Give me discernment so we can pray against the enemy and pray for the destruction of Satan's works. That's important as we cover the church. I believe it glorifies God. I believe it brings great strength and power and the work of God all over the body of Christ. God bless you.